how I use is the analogy of, I call it the rickety bridge. Okay. It's a wooden bridge and it goes across two mountains and it's a really long bridge. And so we first start over on the left side. Okay. We're over on this side and that's the side of upbringing, society, yada, yada, yada. Okay. So then slowly we start creeping and we're creeping. Then we're dead center. That's when it's really vulnerable. You don't see either side, you know, like, it's changing and or has changed. You have made a decision. I call either the middle of the bridge or the top of the mountain. Okay. And there is no going back where you came. So there's one rule. You don't go ever go back. You cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube. Okay. I can go in a different vessel, but it's not going in the same one. So that's that unhatching, that unlayer. And it genuinely usually is the most uncomfortable phase of transformation. Eventually, yes, you start slowly walking to the other side. You still have no idea what's to come. The fog never clears because it genuinely is the unknown. But with each step you say, you basically tell yourself, I'm equipped with the tools, the resiliency. I know what it's like to fail. I know what it's like to not know. I know what it's like. And here I am. Here, I made it this far.
Welcome to the Real You podcast. I'm your host, David Young, and this is episode number 5. This podcast discusses tapping into your potential and finding ways to be the truest version of yourself. Today, I cannot wait to talk with my guest, Danielle Amy, an intuitive mentor and spiritual teacher. We will discuss her business, why unmasking yourself is so difficult, why most self-help information doesn't really help you, and her unique ability to tap into people's energy and a whole lot more. So Danielle, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Of course. And thank you for having me. I was thought I was super excited that you went and got yourself started on the podcasting, because I know last time we connected, you were still like thinking about all these new things. So I think it's like such an awesome, awesome thing you're doing, you know, for others, but also even yourself at the same time, you know, because as we grow, as others grow. So it's pretty cool.
I appreciate you saying that. Yeah. So I looked it up because I take notes on all my calls. So you and I, it's almost been exactly 6 months to the day. It was September 12th. Is when we had our connection call. And it was just such an interesting call because you come from, your background is so unique and kind of the way you tap into other people's kind of psyches and like inner beings and stuff. Like it's really pretty cool stuff. And I really wanted to work with you, but my wife wouldn't let me because she said, you already have a therapist and we don't pay for her and you have to pay for this woman. Why is she any different? It's just therapy. She doesn't even have a degree. And I was like, no, you don't understand. It's totally different. Like, it's really cool stuff. She was like, can't afford it. You're not doing it.
I totally understand.
She's going to get mad that I said that if she listens to this, but, it's not coming out for like 6 weeks and maybe by that point, she'll be like, I'm not listening to your podcast anymore. like after the first couple, she'll be out. So everything was a pipe dream in September. Like I was just kind of brand new in this and just starting to create content and starting to make connections and trying to figure out, you know, what this next phase is going to be. So lots happened since then. And the podcast has been great. Just really enjoy talking to people and just get more, you know, background and insight into what they're doing and kind of what they do. So, so let's get started with just kind of, if you can just talk more high level, like what you do and just kind of your journey from, you know, your background and how you got started and moved into this kind of spiritual world that you currently occupy.
Yeah. Well, as far as what I do, it's always a very complicated subject simply because of I work in the world of non-seen and non-traditional, and it's not something you develop on paper from schooling, you know? So I am highly intuitive. I am spiritually gifted. I always realized about myself that I was intuitive. I didn't use that word as a child or anything, but at that stage of my life, it was just mostly like, I've always been able to pick up on shady people. I've always been able to pick up on when somebody is lying or not. So I got a lot of times as a child, like, how did you know that? How did you know that? Like, there's no way you knew that. And I'm like, well, I did. So I just like kept that there. And long story short, I tried to go the traditional route. You know, I started off school in graphic design. I was a creative. I spent most of my existence, though, like heavily depressed and very suicidal. I had some sexual trauma as a child and yada, yada, you know, trying to survive life. And so art and creativity was my outlet of survival. And that's what led me to pursue that in school. I also wasn't the most book smart individual. So it was easy also for me to do. So that's where my footing started. And then around 2008, I started a online business in stationery. And then through the pursuit of growing that, I got my master's in business, trying to grow that specific business. And then one thing led to another. I started mentoring people in established businesses. So then that led to the word coach, which I used to only think was like basketball in baseball. I still remember the first time I told my husband, I was like, oh, there's coaches. And he's like a soccer coach? And I was like, no. I was like, there's this whole other world of coaches like online. Like it was like 2015 when I learned about all this. I was like, what is this world? As I was growing that, I kind of started doing online coaching through business. I realized like there's this whole world out there. And I was on a retreat, which again, without making this a 25-minute story, my husband and my son at the time, who was 6 months old, we end up on a plane flying to Boston for this mastermind retreat that I was in for this business program. And I sat at a table with two people I barely knew. My husband was there at the time too. And I just had this experience where I read this woman's like soul and like literally read her soul. I felt her trauma. Like we moved into trauma, felt the trauma, nurtured the trauma, moved through all these things. And then she just glanced at me and was like, Danielle, I've like prayed for somebody like you, like my whole life, you know, like this was like, you were sent here. Like you were sent here to me. And we saw like, you know, what just happened? Yeah, so when I always joke, like the universe was like, here you go, you know, pants down and get started. And I'm just like, WTF, mate, what on earth, you know? So I just remember flying home. I looked at my husband, Nathan, and I said, I don't think my life will ever be the same. Like, I don't think you can go back from this, you know? Like, was I curious prior? Yes. Like, I think it was 2013, my husband and I and a friend of ours flew to Peru, did some ayahuasca. My husband's a combat veteran with PTSD from war. So we've been doing lots of different modalities over the years of healing. So we're open-minded, but I never one day was like, you know what? I want to be an online healer. I want to be an intuitive and read people. But every time I tried to get away from it, cause I was embarrassed from it, the universe was like, yeah, so about that, you know? And so here I am, like my life moves really fast. I talk really fast. My life is so weird and so different, yet it's not as different as I think people realize, you know, like I'm the weird factor or the different factor, but like, it's not so different. Like when you really start to like live life, you know, for your own self and your own truth.
Well, I mean, it's unique and we're all on a unique journey, right? So I think everybody should embrace that uniqueness. And I think a lot of times we try to blend in and, you know, fit the mold and fit the box. You tried to do it for a bit. Oh, yeah. I did it for a long time, and you feel a calling or you feel disconnected to that, and you start to move closer, you know, to what feels more natural. Yeah. So going back to that event in Boston with the woman, is there any way to explain it other than a feeling? Or is there any, I mean, obviously you've done this now. That was a while ago. You've done this, you know, a bunch of times, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that was 2017.
Okay, so, you know, 6-7 years. Is there any way to like guide the listeners or people out there to like what, like how it works? Or is it just magical and there's like no explanation?
It's a little bit magical with no explanation, but so I actually totally respect and like it never offends me when I'm around people that are skeptical of me, because the reality is there are a lot of falsities and there are literally people that I still remember that. It's kind of getting sidetracked just slightly, but I remember seeing this on Twitter. A woman wrote that she blatantly just saying, I scam people for astrology reads. And like, she knows nothing about any of it. And people are paying her money. And she just like looks up the stuff on Google and sends it. And I'm like, oh, this is why we have such a bad name. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is why people are so scared to do what they do, because there's a lot of liars, but there's a lot of liars in any industry. Mm-hmm. But what I think makes my industry a little bit more challenging is it does come from this space of like the tangibility isn't there. It's sort of like people that have a faith in a religion. It's just their faith in something, right? So it's not actually something that you really truly, even those that are really heavily Bible belt and type of people, and I don't say that rudely, genuinely, they can't prove any of it. Really, they can't. It's a faith they believe wholeheartedly in. And so for mine, I was very skeptical. I was pretty close, probably being closer to atheist than I was anything. I was raised through Catholicism, went to a Catholic school, never resonated with any of it. Used to get super in trouble because I questioned everything. You know, but why? Yeah, but who said that? Yeah, but that doesn't make sense. You know, but why? You know, why? Like, am I going to burn on Fridays because I ate meat during Lent? Like, I just don't understand. Why can't I have my turkey sandwich? I really like turkey, you know? And they just didn't like it. Where my dad, I'd come home, he had the smirk on his face of like, oh, look at you, you know, questioning life. And then I came to learn of the term agnostic. And so then I kind of started feeling like, oh, I'm agnostic. Still didn't really know what was going on there. But that's kind of where I kept myself. So I've always been super open-minded. I've always been super curious, but I've never attached to anything. And I don't know if that is what allowed me to get to this space that I'm in. I've always been very curious. And again, I'm not a really judgy person. I'm kind of like, okay, you know, like I personally don't want to go do that, but like if you do it, cool. And same thing, the ayahuasca thing. It was a good solid 2 years. I kept getting, I don't remember how I found it. I remember mentioning it to my husband, who at the time was not open-minded to it. And he was just like, why do you want to do, like, you're out of your mind. Like, what do you want to do this for? I'm like, I feel like I'm supposed to, like, I feel like I got to do this. And if it wouldn't have been for a Marine buddy of his randomly calls him and he's like, hey, Nathan, you want to go to Peru? I'm thinking about doing some ayahuasca. And he just sat there. He stared at me. I remember he's sitting on the sofa. I remember exactly where he was. And he's like, Danielle's been talking about this. So I was like, we're going. And like, so like that type of moment, it was not something that like, cause it is, it's a drug. It's a psychedelic drug, but this isn't something you like sit in your living room or go raving at or something, you know, it's not like for a party thing. It's a genuine healing thing and it's a purge and you go deep into your psyche, you go deep into yourself and you pull out a lot of stuff. And for me, it pulled out sexual trauma, which explained a lot about my life that I didn't quite understand. And so that was that a catapulting moment? Possibly. But had I already been on that journey the entire time, because I started to seek the foundation of trying to learn how to like myself and love myself around 18. I'm about to turn 38. And so that's been I would say, I don't think my journey stops like because we are a certain age or a certain situation happens. And I think when people put that fallacy on life too, it creates a false illusion as to like a end point of this where people feel like they've let themselves down or they failed. And if anybody gives you the perception that they've completely figured out everything and that there's no human struggle involved, does it mean that struggle is necessary? No, but we still feel it. Like I'm going through one of the biggest shifts in my life right now, but it's not because like it's catastrophic. It's actually a totally different degree of life right now, but I'm still feeling fear. I'm still feeling hesitation. I'm still super emotional at times. I can't tell you how many times I've cried now. As my husband will say, I'm already a kind of a tit ninny because I'm a Cancer, but he's Aries. So we're like very different. But what I'm getting at is like life changes if we allow ourselves to ride the wave with it. And I think because of my sense of self, I can't even say upbringing because my mom's not this way at all, but I just always question things. And I think when we allow ourselves to question things in society, but more importantly, question things about ourselves, we end up seeing through a different lens of life that never would have been there prior, you know? And I think that's what's really exciting about your journey. When I connected with you, I could see that that new lens of life was about to enter into your life. And the thing is when we start to do that though, those around us that genuinely truly care about our well-being as well as our own, and it's not out of harm or out of stopping us. Sometimes like with my husband, for example, initially it was kind of like, what are you doing that for? Like, but that seems like a waste of time. Like, what is that? What are you doing that? And it's like, just shun the non-believer. Like, just let me like, just trust. Can you trust me? You know? And I was like, I'll kind of learn how to trust myself at the same time. And he just jokes and says, let Jesus take the wheel at this point. And when we do that, like when I kid you not, if I can do this and I can live this life to where I used to be in the sense of polarity that I have, we all have the ability to do it. We all genuinely have the ability to do it. It's, will we allow ourselves to question ourselves? Will we allow ourselves to ask ourselves the questions that a lot of people don't want to admit? You know, like we're the ones that hold ourselves back. We're the ones that freeze, you know? I probably didn't actually answer your question. So that's another thing about me. I go on tangents, everyone.
I love it. I love it so much. And you know, it's funny. So two things that struck me. One, and we'll come back to this in a second, is somebody just posted recently about how we really stop questioning as adults. Like, kids are very curious. Kids ask tons of questions. It's very simple in kids' minds, right? They just are, they want to know. They don't, because they're so young and they haven't experienced a lot of it. It's this constant trying to figure it out. And so their only real way is either to just experiment and do it, which usually involves, you know, breaking something. Or they have to ask, right? They're, how does that work? Why does that work? Why do we do it this way? But then when you get to a certain age, and I don't know when that is, maybe it's high school or early adulthood, I'm not sure. I think a lot of it goes away, right? You've kind of learned the basics of life. You kind of know how most things work. And then you move into that, whatever phase you're in. I think a lot of times society really pushes us down in terms of to stop questioning, right? Like for me, it was get a degree, didn't question it, get a job, didn't really like it, didn't really question it. And then just did that for 20 years, thinking that some other job or some other manager, whatever industry, was going to fix it. And then after doing that repeatedly for two decades, you're like, nope, none of that fixed it. Right.
Correct.
And then that's when all the questions I've been asking started to come to the surface. And it was like, well, I just have to go down a different path. Like, I have to figure something else out, because I'm not made to sit in this box, literally and figuratively. So I think that's really interesting. And if you could just talk, like, what is your experience? Why do you think that happens, that once we get older, like, our curiosity levels start to kind of plateau?
Well, you kind of said it. I honestly think the way that we, at least in an American culture, for sure. I mean, because I haven't lived in any other country other than I know of other people's way of doing things. But at least here, without trying to get into that, it's not the conspiracy box or something, but we do live in a very programmed world. And here's the irony of it. So you just asked that question, and then I thought of this situation that just recently has been coming up. So my son is in first grade and he's done kindergarten and first grade now. And I was talking with a parent who, her youngest is in my son's class, and she has her daughter. And I was like, oh, the school's so great. Like, I really love the teachers. I really love this. She's like, you know, I really did too until my daughter hit third grade. And I was kind of like, you know, what do you mean by that? And she's like, well, the teachers were absolutely horrible. And it's like, they almost stopped caring about the kids. And then I kind of like reflected back. I didn't have a very good third grade teacher either. I was like, oh yeah, third grade did kind of change. But anyway, the point to this isn't saying that specific school or specific all third, by the way, not judging third grade teachers. It's that I think indoctrination starts to take place. More and more, if you look in the school system, kids are starting to have play taken more and more and more and more away from them. The aspect of children is being taken away from them. Orders and system is being brought in more and more. And as it was when we were children and we progressed, like, more and more, it was like, well, you got to grow up, you got to do this. And it's like, at some point, a child is still a child, though. A child is still a child. But we're in a society that often, like, and I see it, I'm guilty as it as well as a parent. I have just turned 5, just turned 7. And occasionally I catch myself looking at my 7-year-old and I realize, like, I just held this expectation. Like, he was supposed to be 12 right now. Like, how dare him, you know, do this? Like, how did you not know that, son? I don't talk to him that way, but, you know, jokingly. Right. And it's like, I sit there, I'm like, Danielle, but he's still just a little boy. He still, like, hugs a stuffed animal most nights, you know, like, just a couple years ago, he was in a diaper. And, you know, I hold this pressure to this child, but so does the school system. And then I had this little boy in kindergarten that was this very free spirit. And he, not saying that my mom jokes and says that instead of free range chickens, I have free range children. I'm not that loose, but close enough. And so, cause we believe in emotions and all this stuff, but also believe in order. I have, you know, Marine husband over here, but, like, he came home and the first year I watched him and it saddened me cause I saw it firsthand cause I hadn't experienced it before. And I knew my perspective of the school system. I knew my perspective of human behavior because I study it. I just know I don't have the degree on paper. I don't want it. But I watched my son change. Like, I watched his demeanor change. I see how the light can be taken from a child and stripped of him. Like, he got constricted all day long to be sat in a desk. We're trained to be in a box. You know, like, they used to have recesses in school multiple times a day. My son has one 15-minute break a day. Otherwise, he is to sit and desk and be quiet unless he is spoken to, unless he has raised his hand. Otherwise, he comes home with a warning. Right. Mom, I'm on yellow today. Sorry. What were you doing? I was just trying to get to know Easton. I don't really get to talk to him. And that's what I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to get mad at you for that. You were literally trying to get to know a kid. When else is he supposed to do it? And you know, that's the thing. How do we get shut up? We live in families that don't want to talk about things. They shut us up. We live in schools. They don't want you to question things. So you get shut up. So why do we keep getting shut up? Well, we're taught to not question. We're taught to not ask. And when we do, sometimes we were removed from the classroom for disorderly conduct or being rude. And in fact, we weren't at all. We were just asking a question. Mm-hmm. So I think we become frozen to ask those questions. And then we're also told a lot in life who we are. They're not allowing you to explore yourself. We're also told who we should be from a young age, to go to school, go to college, do this thing. And the same thing, the stigma of the cliche life you're supposed to live now, you know, or that was taught, that people's like, oh, I'm not getting married. I'm not having, like, out of the rebellion, you know, kind of phase of like, maybe I don't want this. I don't want to do this. But I mean, even looking at my mom now, I had a conversation with her today. It's like, she still has the old school mentality. And she thinks I'm like such a rebellious human. And I'm just like, Mom, all I did was ask questions, though. That's all I've ever really done wrong. I don't even call it wrong. That's all I've done right. Is I just ask questions, and it makes her uncomfortable. It makes her uncomfortable because I refuse to blend in society. I make her uncomfortable because I've never done the norm. And it always have bothered her because she cares about what people think. But this is how I grew up. But this is how I've done. And I said, well, I'm choosing to create a different path, and I want a different path for my kids. I don't want to be in a box. I learned when I was in the box, I was dying. Like I was literally dying in that box. I didn't want to live when I was in a box. I was like, now I'm this magical orb beam thing that can't follow a straight line to save my damn life. And it's awesome. You know, like,
Does she say when people ask her, like, what does Danielle do? Like, do you know what her answer is?
So she never really knows what to say. So sometimes when she's insecure about it, like depending on if it's like not a family member that she's close to, she says that I'm sort of like a person that helps people with their life to be happy. So she's gotten comfortable with that aspect. As far as her family, she's like, I don't know how to really tell you, because she's not a medium that reads the dead, but she can read the dead, but she doesn't do that for a living. She's like, nobody, even my husband doesn't know how to explain what I do. But she is very supportive of me. But she usually makes a comment of like, it's really interesting. She said it again today, like almost as she could have done this, but she's chosen her family instead. Like, she'll make little comments like that. I'm just like, what the hell does that even mean? You know, like, what? You know, like, oh, she could have done this, but she chose to keep hers below. I'm like, I didn't choose this. They were like, yo, hey, you're like, your life's changing. Every time you try to be normal and blend in, we're going to F things up a little bit, stir the pot. You know, you're going to hate life, because I've tried it multiple times, even in the last couple of years.
Well, it's not like you, entered a program to read people and came out with these skills, right? Like you just had them like inside.
Yeah, it's natural. Totally right. Natural.
Yeah. So choosing, it's almost impossible to say you chose it, because it was inside of you. It chose you. And then you eventually allowed it, like, yeah. you leaned into it, because some people would still fight it, right? Because it would have been easier for you to just maybe acknowledge it but then not do anything with it.
Correct.
And continue down the more traditional structured path.
Yep.
And maybe you do it on the side, or maybe you do it for friends, but to wholeheartedly lean into it and make it now like your life and your business is, yeah, that says a lot about you and your ability to kind of embrace it. Because I think, and myself, you know, I fought it for a long time too. And I think a lot of people would have fought it and would have just been like, oh, this is pretty out there compared to everything else. And I don't really know what to do with it. So I'm just going to kind of hide it, or I'm not going to talk about it, or we're just going to pretend like I can't do it. So I think I give you a lot of credit for accepting it and then like trying to figure out a way to use it. Cause ultimately you're using it to help people, right? When you're tapping into them, whether it's their energy, their soul, psyche, whatever the proper term is, you're trying to help them. You're trying to help them heal, trying to help them move forward, trying to help them be a better person, try to move forward through trauma, whatever it is. So you're using it, I think, in such a positive way. So I really like applaud that. What maybe talk about some examples of like where you've read someone or coached them, whatever the proper term is, and just some like success stories or like what people have kind of opened up or been allowed to do or think or see that, you know, would not have been possible, you know, before you started working with them.
Yeah. Well, so one thing I found or have found, yeah, I said that right. I thought I said it backwards. Have found working with the people I have since 2017, because it's when I first started, is the diversity of people. But so for whatever reason, because no, I'm actually not a therapist. And so sometimes people feel really awkward because they notice they just naturally start opening up to me and telling me stuff. And so they think like, oh, well, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm like, no, just let yourself be yourself. That's our agenda here, is for you to help you find who you are. I'm not here to tell you who you are. I'm not here to tell you who you should be. It's who I'm able to see past the, so we mask ourselves, like we layer ourselves for protection, program, whatever. I mean, a lot of times we don't even realize we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And so I learned, because I can read that, and people want you to read that. Like, tell me what I want to hear. And so I learned very early on, oh, I got to go like three layers back. And then we start getting into juicy stuff. And that's when people's like, how did you know I think that? I'm like, well, you know. So I've had people to where I have, you know, they come to me horrible. Like, I've had I worked with a lot of women in the beginning before I worked with men. My first male client was my husband the whole time. we took him from severe PTSD, like not being able to sleep at night, can't really function around loud noises, emotionalist, heartless, a lot of guilt for being a survivor from war, and to where he like thrives, he loves, he feels, he cries, to be okay with feeling feelings without feeling he uses the P word without saying it, and be like, hey, it doesn't demasculate you because you have feelings, you know. And then I've watched him, his sense of intimacy with others really change, empathy really changing, and then how that has inspired his voice. Like, for example, I remember a very particular moment of helping him help himself. And then, so technically I started before 2017, but I don't really count my husband, but I remember this moment. He was with another combat veteran. He was with war, and my husband actually saved this guy's life. And so his name is Davey, is indebted to Nathan, I think, for the rest of his life. Like, it's just a world that I will never share with my husband, and that's okay. And anyway, Davey was on the brink of not being here anymore in life, without going into detail. And I told Nathan, which is my husband, and I said, I really urge you to just tell this man that you feel pain. Like, just let him know he thinks your ducks are in order. He thinks your life is great because you still have a job and because you now, and at the time I was his girlfriend, I was like, but he doesn't realize what you actually go through at night because you don't express that. And so all he did was share a story. And that moment like opened up everything, because it's vulnerability and connection. And that moment saved that man's life. And since then, again, Davey has increased and has actually started to thrive and live in life instead of go the other end. And as well as my husband, didn't want to be here, didn't like life and stuff like that. So I've had everything from combat veterans to people that have been sexually molested by parents, have been tortured in chambers through religious organizations. And so what has been successes for them? Well, I've had people in really horribly abusive marriages finally have the confidence to leave. I've had men just feel confident enough to bring in intimacy, which then saved marriages to where they were on the brink of divorce, and like it changed everything. And as well as established businesses, I had one, she's still a client of mine off and on, actually. I spoke to her not long ago. And so it was the first time, it was December 2019. I did a read for her, and I don't have to see people. People has given me bogus names. People give me like screen names, almost like back in the AOL days. I've had where they give me no, I don't need a picture. I don't need to know anything about you. I can feel it. And so I read her name, her name's Lauren, and I read her, and I actually forecast that she was going to have a business. And I'm like, oh God, like I've got to be so wrong. Like, she works at a hospital, you know, like she was my therapist for like pelvic floor therapy. I'm like, I've got to be wrong. Even she's like, maybe at the time her husband, she's like, maybe he's going to have a fishing business or something. I'm like, I might have been wrong. I'm so sorry. COVID came. Needless to say, she ended up moving out the position. She decided not to work in at the hospital. And then she's still like, I don't know if I can do this by myself. And I was like, this really feels like it's a go for you, though, to where the universe gave her another hospital for a 6-week position for maternity leave. So as she's working her way out the door, she has now moved 3 locations because she's grown so much, like, and everything. Like, she's still always like a disbelief of how it goes. And I mean, of course she jokes. I'm like, oh, it's because you told me. I'm like, no, all I do is just show you your own light. That's all I did. And you're kind of like a little like, follow it. You want to follow light? Here you go. Here's your path. Here's your path. Here's your path. Oh, oh, well, no, I'm second guess myself. No, no, don't go that way. That's not your path. That's your ego's. Like, let's get back on the path. Here you go. Here you go. So I have a tendency to quicken people's paths, not because of me, but because I help people stay in their own lane, because I get super distracted by things. And so a lot of times, like, people ask me, like, what is one thing, what makes me different from other people? Actually, usually save people money, because we have a tendency to be drawn, like, when I join this program, when I do that, I was guilty of this myself. Cause my husband would be like, calling the kettle black there. Sure was. You know, this thing will make me better. This is the thing that helps me have the clients or grows the thing. And really for my business, for me personally, what always has worked best is when I stop trying to do what everybody else said I needed to do. Cause whenever, even still, I catch myself, maybe I should do this. It doesn't work for, it really doesn't work for me. And that's why I've allowed myself to be regurgitation of the mouth. I allow myself to just be myself, because that's the whole other thing I had to accept. And it's hard at times, cause I still catch myself with it, is somebody's going to think like I talk too much. Somebody's going to say I'm not organized in my verbiage. I can't follow a bouncing ball. And I can combat all these things, because it's not trying to be defensive. It's like, you're right. I don't, but I'm just not your people. And that's okay. Yeah. Because there's all these hundreds of other people that I've been working with, you know, and some through courses have been thousands of people that I've never actually met. And that's why I'm here. I might not be here for you. I might not be the person for you. You might need my husband, actually, because he's way more spreadsheet based and, like, you know, follow the bouncing ball. Get to the bluff, Danielle. And that's the thing about life. We have to kind of realize we go to the buffet and we have to choose what we want to be and what we want. And some days I am organized, because I actually love creating algorithms inside of Excel. fun hobby of mine, you know, like when I can figure out the little things, like, yes, you just click that button and it's there. It's fun. But I'm more of the gray matter box of life, and I'm not easily understood. I'm the other category, and I kind of help other people format. It's not to become my category. It's how do you formulate your own? How do you create your own and give yourself the flexibility to realize that what you do today is only based on what you know. And if you try to control what comes tomorrow, you limit yourself from everything. And it's a scary place, because, again, we're taught to follow. We're taught to plan, because if not, we're going to fail. And to some degree, there is planning. But at the same time, we only know what we know, and our mind limits us. And so I kind of have gotten to this aspect, the same thing, like I didn't plan to have the spiritual gifts, they showed up, but I had chosen myself in a new way to say, like, okay, maybe I'm different. Maybe it's okay to be different, because that's what I'd been fighting against. And it used to annoy me. Like, I wanted to blend in with everybody, where now it's the opposite. It's like when people are blending me and I'm like, don't you generalize me? Like, you know, like, I'm not like that. So anyway, to get to this, it's like, where we're all seeking is a place we've never been. And so the more we try to control the place we've never been, it doesn't come. And that's when we reach and we reach and we reach, because when we're in the most still place or in the most non-planned moments, that's usually when some of the biggest things has ever happened to us. And it's so unexpected and also usually so amazing, you know, even if it's catastrophic, it turns out to be a really great blessing, you know?
Yeah, that I mean, that's, it's difficult to, it's an illusion of control, right? Mm-hmm. We want to feel like we're in control, which is why most people tend to gravitate towards the 9-to-5 job, because it feels safer. Yeah. Because you do get the paycheck every 2 weeks. And even though you know it can be taken away with layoffs or downsizing or get let go or whatever, mergers, you know that, and, like, you know that to be true, but the fear of that is not that great, because you just assume it's not going to happen. And so there's that illusion of safety. And it's the same thing what you're talking about when you're trying to figure out, like, where you're going to go. And this is what I did, is I wanted to know where I was going to go. I wanted to have it mapped out, because I am a planner and I like my routines and I like my details. So it was like, if I had an idea, I needed to see the idea kind of all the way through. Mm-hmm. And if I couldn't, or if it seemed too bumpy, or I felt limiting beliefs or whatever, then I would just not start because I was like, that's going to be too difficult, or I'm not really going to be able to do it, or I probably could do this part, but this part would be tough or whatever. And so instead of just leaning into it and trying it and just seeing where it goes, which is what I finally did with this, but it took me forever to get there. It was always wanting that, well, I need to be in control of it. I need to dictate how it's going to happen. And I want to be like the one. So it's really interesting that you talk about that. Do you have like when you work with clients, is each one like unique and customized? Do you have kind of a set plan that you go through with each one to get started? Or like, how do you approach, you know, when you're working with a new client, you know, how to start working with them?
Yeah. So I have an overall premise, but as far as individually, it really is custom to the person. Like I said, some people, and it's not just women, some people just want to like feel heard for the first time in their life. So like they voice their feeling feelings. And, or sometimes I've had people to where I had this one client for probably, she worked with me for over 2 years. And in the beginning, she was super quiet to where it almost made me feel awkward because, you know, you hear in the coaching industry or the mentoring, you let them talk. But I find a lot of times with my clients, they're actually not looking to talk because I have a tendency, I'm not talking. So it's confusing. I'm not talking from Danielle. I'm talking from their own mind. It's just coming out of my mouth. So I have a tendency to, I call myself the microphone in the mirror for other people. So we have times where a person is really quiet and then I start going, so it feels like, and then I start feeling feelings. And then sometimes it takes me to a memory. It takes me to a feeling. I have described people's bedrooms. I've described particular situations or people in their life. So I'm not a fortune teller. I'm not I don't know like people's names or on Tuesday at 1 o'clock, you know, you win the lot. I don't know that. Or because people mock me like, ooh, do you know what I had for lunch? I'm like, no, but I know how you feel about your wife. Would you like to talk about that? You know? So I usually shut them up where I'm like, do you want to go there, buddy? Do you want to go there? We can go there. So, I mean, I just joke about it because I also respect everything because I've had people that they come to me and they're like, oh, can you help my husband? Or can you do this? I'm like, well, they have to want this though. Like I'm not here to save the world. You know, nobody in these fields, like we can't help people that don't want to help themselves. So those that I work with, like I have quite a few males. Like one client in particular, when I first started with him, so resistant. But I don't say that in a judgy way. It's just so I can't work with him the same way that I work with a few of my other clients where we, as soon as we hop on the call, it's like, I don't really know why I'm here. And I'm like, that's okay. That's normal. And they're like, I know, but I kind of feel that's weird because you probably feel like there should be a reason, but I feel like I'm just supposed to work with you. I'm like, no, not weird at all. Like, that's how we do things here. You know? So then they automatically are like, oh, I feel really safe with you. Like you're really comfortable, easy to talk to. It's kind of like we're hanging out. I'm like, good. That's what my setting is I'm not trying to be professional. I'm trying to be a person and help you be a person back. And so because I respect the mind, because I respect psychology, because I respect trauma, and I've educated myself enough to know when something is way out of my league, I've had many people work with an actual therapist while they work with me, you know? So there's a general premise of what I'm taking people to do is full self to true self. And it's, again, basically for simple terms, coming out of the box of contorting ourselves to fit in it and to feel safe in order to do it. But my method isn't like, yeah, if you want this good enough, you just get out of that box and you go do that thing. I'm like, look, today might be a toe. Tomorrow might be the half of a foot. Because I don't think for most humans, some people have the ability to cold turkey stuff, quit it and go balls, walls hard, and they got it. Well, guess what? The vast majority of human beings do not work that way and they set themselves up for failure. So whether it was somebody quitting cigarettes or, for example, back in the day when my husband from his legal drug dealer, aka the VA, had him with a cocktail of stuff at one point. And I remember even that moment of life having to tell, at the time was not my husband, but look at him. I'm like, you're going to kill yourself, dude. You're popping like 12 Xanax a day on top of all the other stuff, Nathan. Like you're going to die from organ failure. And of course, at the time he's like, well, who cares? You know, I kind of want to do that anyway. You know, so I'm like, okay, awesome. So what we did wasn't like, hey, completely just get off of them. Cause if not, you're a loser. No, it was like, we went from 12 to 11 and a half. And we, you know, I kept, cause I had to kind of emotionally be there for him. Cause when it started to have him feel, he didn't like it, you know? And so he's now completely off of all that stuff. It's been probably 10 years now, you know, since he's been off of all of it. And so that's the same thing when we're breaking habits and we're breaking routines and we're breaking programming, is some people have the ability to go and felt really strong that week and went from, instead of 6.5, they decided that night to go to 4.5, you know, and when he felt he could and he had the willpower, he did. But we also created a realistic, measurable variable of where we're going. Same thing. Like, I have some people set goals of, you know, joining the gym or whatever. I don't know, you know, finding this new location. And it's like, instead of saying in 3 weeks, this is going to happen, it's like, all right, what if in the next 12 months you can achieve 3 things off of this thing? You know, and you work with people where they are, because we have a tendency to say, oh, you know, I want $1 million a year. I want to have 11 billion clients by Tuesday. They said, if I want it bad enough and I hustle, I got it. I'm like, well, probably not though. So when it doesn't happen, how do you feel? You know? So like, I don't know. That's just it. Like, everybody's different, but it really is just helping people go like, here is the box you've been in. Here's the persona you have made yourself be. Like, going back to Mr. Resistant, he's now in a place where he feels feelings. He's stepping back from the computer because he obsessively lived through it and was this identity of self, to where even at times he's like, you know, like, I don't know who I am. I'm like, cool. That's what you're learning who you want that to be. There isn't a person you need to be. Who do you want to be today? Who do you want to explore tomorrow? That's all you're doing right now, you know? And where like meditation is becoming like a normalcy for him, you know, where that wasn't even something he did. He resisted, like, I don't need to sit still. I'm not sitting. I got to hustle. I got goals to meet. I got things to do. I'm like, so based on your energetic patterning, you can keep this path as much as you want, but all you're doing is stroking your ego. You're going to get to the same result the same way. Would you like to do it peacefully or through struggle? Because that's your choice as a human. So again, like, those are the types of things I'm able to forecast, but y'all are the choosers. You're choosing your own adventure novel, you know? Like, I don't live my life for them. I'm not like giving you like some get up. I mean, sort of it's quicker, but humans don't usually choose the quicker path. Yeah. Ever. They, and at this particular person, I quote unquote, because I told him a year and a half ago, exactly everything that's going on. He's like, I needed to try to prove you wrong though. It took him a year. And he's like,
we like it difficult.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
Yeah, and you even knew. So I'm going to read you something. So I had messaged you, and I should have looked this up before the show, but I think it was two or three months ago, and I had messaged you something, I think one of your posts. And I was really struggling at the time, just trying to balance the mental capacity of really wanting to do this full time. I was still trying to work. That was a real struggle for me. I was having some kind of self-destructive type thoughts, just in terms of, I was just having a really hard time just processing like the whole thing. And we had messaged back and forth, and you sent me a really insightful message that I don't think I really like could comprehend fully.
That's normal.
So I'm going to read part of it, because it comes from what you just talked about. And the word you use for me is like unhatching, but I don't think that's exclusive to me. I think that's most people what you're talking about, right? It's this getting outside the box. It's embracing this kind of different journey. So I'm going to read this quickly, and then I'll let you explain it. So you said, it's like a self-destructive part of me that wants to take over and burn everything down. This is what I call the ego, the false self. It only knows what it knows, and it wants to control everything. You are unhatching, meaning more and more breaking away from who you thought you were and would be. You're kind of in the middle of that, and the middle part really sucks. Transformation, evolution is rarely ever pretty. In fact, it usually is never pretty until you get farther along, like on your journey. So if you could just kind of break that down and kind of talk about what you were saying there.
Yeah. So one thing I have witnessed that I find incredibly interesting. In fact, in the beginning, I used to joke with clients of like, it took me 6 years to get through this, and we just did it in 2 months, you know? So how I use is the analogy of, I call it the rickety bridge. Okay. It's a wooden bridge that goes across two mountains, and it's a really long bridge. And so we first start over on the left side. Okay. We're over on this side, and that's the side of upbringing, society, yada, yada, yada. Okay. And then eventually we become what's considered an adult. Not sure if any of us really fully grew up inside, but society said we are. So there we are. Right. So we're on this side, and then there's a portion of us, cause all do not do this. It has absolutely nothing to do with age whatsoever. It's just the person, because I've seen people do it really super young. And then I've had clients just beginning in their 70s. So it literally has nothing to do with age. But when we begin to question, what we start to do is the beginning half is the box. It literally is the contortion to realize that there was a box there in the first place. To realize you've even been in one. That's usually sometimes a huge epiphany for people to realize that they've been this whole time living a life that's not even, well, why have you been doing this? I don't know. They kind of just said, I'm just supposed to. My mom did it, or this did it, or this did it. I just did it. And I'm like, do you want to do this? Sometimes they're like, I have no idea. And other people blatantly like, no. Do I have to? I'm like, no. So then, whether it's on you guys' own or like I was kind of on my own, I was my own mentor for a really long time, just questioning the world. And while you start to slowly move from one side of the bridge to the next, but you're going to spend majority of your time in the middle. And what happens though is for a little bit, just like anything, when you start to head to the middle, you're closer to one side versus the other. So for a while, but I want you to visualize that the further away you move from that one side of the mountain, it's a foggy mountain. So the further away, you start to not see ground anymore. You start to not see the ends of the rope anymore. So then sometimes we immediately, through fear, want to go back to that place because it's like, oh shit, it's not safe. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to go back to where I just came from, even though I kind of don't want to be there, but that seems safer than this place because I don't even know what's on that. Is there even pieces of wood to walk across? You know, is there a hole? Is it going to break? How long is this thing? We have all these questions, right? Yeah. And so we then have to have this barrier of like, oh, wow, I'm realizing what's going on here. I'm having to trust myself. I haven't really been trusting myself. I've been trusting other people this whole time. They've been telling me what to do and I've just been doing it, not realizing it. And I've been sitting here like, I don't listen to anybody. They don't tell me what to do. They've been telling me what to do. So then that's a whole thing. And you kind of just mostly, one sits there almost like not frozen with fear, but frozen with overwhelm of, I literally get to make choices and I could potentially make one that's not for the benefit of myself. And then all those naysayers from that other side is going to be like, ha ha.
Told you.
Right. So then slowly we start creeping and we're creeping. Then we're dead center. That's when it's really vulnerable. You don't see either side. You know, like, it's changing and or has changed. You have made a decision. I call either the middle of the bridge or the top of the mountain. Okay. And there is no going back where you came. So there's one rule. You don't ever go back. You cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube. Okay. It can go in a different vessel, but it's not going in the same one. So that's that unhatching, that unlayer. And it genuinely usually is the most uncomfortable phase of transformation. Eventually, yes, you start slowly walking to the other side. You still have no idea what's to come. The fog never clears because it genuinely is the unknown. But with each step you say, you basically tell yourself, I'm equipped with the tools, the resiliency. I know what it's like to fail. I know what it's like to not know. I know what it's like. And here I am. Here, I made it this far. If I made it that far, I can make it. And maybe it's false optimism, but you know what? It took me from being the darkest human. I had not a jovial personality. I was kind of like Cruella de Vil, you know, and most pessimistic human. Believe me, I would suck the life out of you if you were in a room with me. Where now I'm a realist, but I'm also, if life is nothing and has no meaning, I'm going to make it have some. Because you know what? I don't know. I might be a computer generated system, all I know. And so be it if I am. I'm going to have a good time in this game. I'm going to have a good time, you know? And that's kind of how I see it.
If like, the Matrix is real, I'm going to embrace it.
Hell yeah. I mean, sure. I'm a microchip. That's right. I know. You know, it's like, who cares? We don't actually know what's going on. Nobody knows. So let's just make the best of it. It can be hell. Yes. It can be dark. Yes. People will always suffer. Yes. But just because somebody's suffering doesn't mean you have to suffer and you're suffering with their suffering. Guess what that does? Creates more suffering. It does not make anything change. So that's the same thing. There is always going to be catastrophic events in life, natural disasters in life, political events in life. Are you going to buy into that? Are you going to create your own fantasy bubble? Not out of being disillusioned, not that kind of stuff. But like, my world works out perfectly regardless of the external world. My world works out perfectly regardless of that. Yes. Financial crisis is going on XYZ area. That doesn't mean that I also suffer. Like people in the Great Depression, all did not suffer. Like in any time, if you go back in history, no one always suffered. And just because somebody's not suffering doesn't make them automatically greedy. Mm-hmm. People are greedy whether they're poor or rich. So like, that's irrelevant. Also, we also, they have all these success stories of, you know, like Tina and Tim, abandoned orphans in the alley. They're billionaires now. So that means that you had to be an abandoned orphan, not like raised by two parents, because there's no way you're going to have a success story. And it's like, y'all, like, let go of the attachment of the how, the when, and who, and ask yourself really, like, when people say that they want businesses or they want X, Y, and Z, and they want to do, who are you actually wanting to do that for? That's the biggest question to ask. Is it for other people to be like, well, you were right? Or is it just for your own sense of satisfaction, your own sense of purpose, not because you need an accolade or award? Because that's when people start to notice like their generosity things, not that generosity is ever a bad thing, but when people need to be recognized for it, for the act of donation, it's like, would you have made that act of donation if not one single person in the world knew you did it? It's like, well, I mean, why can't I say who it is? And I'm like, because you need the validity behind it. It kind of, I'm probably getting on a whole nother world, but like, that's life though, is it, you start, that's what I do with people. That's what the whole general is you start to realize that every decision that you have made thus far has literally been for somebody else's approval. And somebody else to say that you're good enough, they like you, even if it's complete freaking strangers on the damn internet, you want them, but don't hate me. Oh, wow, you're trolling me. Oh, something must be wrong with me, because I want everybody liking me. And I started to realize everybody, I'm doing something wrong if everybody thinks I'm so amazing. I'm either putting on the biggest mask of my life, you know? And that's why I came to accept like the whole regurgitation thing. Like, I know like that, but I also am a person, the people that talk really super slow, you actually wrote that in a post, I get so bored. It's so fast. And if it's an audiobook, yes, mine is never on the regular speed ever.
Yeah, you know, I'm 1.5 and higher every time.
Same. Ditto. I have to. I love it that way. Where other people are like, what? Like, what was that? I'm like, you didn't understand that? I'm like, just come on now. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go. You know? And then some people's like, oh, that's nervous energy. You're lacking confidence. I'm like, you haven't seen me read then, because when I'm in somebody's brain, you got to move fast, because y'all want to like close doors. So I'm like, we're, you know, going around corners. I'm like, here we go. Let's just get to the point. Let's just enjoy life. And that's why I always record everything I ever do, is because even like you said, I sent you that comment, but until we're ready, all of us, we can have the same exact freaking experience. And when our state of consciousness changes, so does the way that we see it, hear it, and think. Every time, you know? So the same thing like can carry so much validity later on than it initially did. And that's the same thing with self-transformation. And that's what it's doing. It's not taking away the natural disasters. People are still going to die. People are still going to get sick. People that we love is going to have things happen to them unexpectedly. But what builds is our resilience. What builds is our detachment to those things defining who we are. And that we realize that whether our dad has died, our mom feels like she's left behind because you're moving, has nothing at the end of the day to do with me. It's how we respond to our environments. It's how we utilize these things as inspiration, or are we going to let them hold us back? And instead, we can just see it as a beautiful gift to the other side, which is fully unknown. Yes, let's embrace that it's scary at times. But how hella boring would life be if we always knew every single element that's to come? Like every single waking, that's the thing. Like you can tell somebody something, but you have to experience it. Same thing. You can read something in a book and gain knowledge. That doesn't mean it's applicable for you to go teach it and that you actually understand what it is. Same thing. I will never, ever, ever, even though I've been in their psyches, I will never know what it's like to be in war. I will never know what that's like. I will never 100% know what my husband feels like at night. Mm-hmm. I can try. I know that it's gotten dark, it gets low and all that stuff. Like I know that, but I, no matter what I read, and I've read a lot about their, to understand PTSD. And so I respect it much differently because I've educated myself, but I will never be the same as him counseling another combat veteran. Like, you know what I mean? If that makes sense. Yeah. So it's like, that's the thing. We have to respect life for what it is too, and where we hold things. And it's not because we're not good enough or not able. It's just who we are, like who we, and I once wanted to be the person, like, I want to save all this because that means I'm really good at it and stuff. And I'm like, that doesn't mean I'm not really good at something. And do you have to be really good at it, Danielle? Do they, you know? And that's when I started to be like, I don't care. It's like, I just allow what happens to myself as well as other people. And I find when we just stay in that place, which is leaving the falsity of control, like you said earlier, life just works. It's just not a it's not a normal place that people sit in, because it's trust. And who are we trusting? Self. you know, scary. Yeah,
it's, well, I was going to say scary. That was going to be the word I used. It's just, it's scary because it's unknown and unpredictable. And that always just feels that, or at least for me, and I'm assuming for many others too, it just, there's that moment. It feels, I don't know what the right word is, makes you like a little nervous. You're a little tense. You're a little on edge because you're like, I don't know. I just don't know.
Super vulnerable.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Do you think it's possible? You're talking about the unmasking. I wrote a post a couple months ago about kind of the mask we wear, which is tied in really to kind of why I started the show and kind of the point. And someone commented, I hadn't thought of this. Someone commented, like, the utopian state is wearing zero masks. So you're just, it's just your face. So it is just you all the time in every situation. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's possible. So I'm curious to get your take. Like, do you think we could get to a place where there were zero masks and you could just be your absolute, whatever that version, the truest version of you is in every scenario, work, social, family, friends, whatever. Do you think that's possible? Or do you think there's always some layers, some mask that just you just have to put on in order to get through like certain situations?
Yeah, I'm a little bit more on your side as your opinion towards it in the context of like, for example, I have a loose mouth with words. So I'm not going to walk into a kindergarten class and drop F-bombs. So is that me not being my true self? Am I masking? Technically, when I, like my neighbors, for example, they do not curse and they're kind of religious and stuff. So I respect them. I'm not faking myself. I just try to omit certain things. Like even my kids, like for example, they do this thing and they'll blank out the word that was supposed to be said. So they're not, are they masking themselves? No, they just know that's a no-no word right now. They have to be, you know, older. So like that's the thing is, and the same thing, not everybody understands what I do for a living. I respect that. And I'm not trying to be fake about it. I'm not being Danielle about it. I also feel like sometimes people, especially when it comes to the, like it almost, people become, if you become an extremist in anything, I think it then starts to attach that ego again of, I know this and I'm going to do this. So I'm around a whole lot of people. We all are. And in the context of all these people are not where we are and all these people are not where we're believing and thinking and doing. And so that's what I was saying before. I'm really not saying I'm never judgmental because that would be a lie. I think we all judge to some extent. I think the level in which we judge is different, but I try whenever I work with a person or when I'm around a person, I just let them be a person. And so when I'm around somebody that I know is like struggling to pay their bills or whatever, I'm not over there saying like, I'm about to go, you know, fly or whatever. You know, I don't start talking about myself, and it's not because I'm ashamed of myself. I find it unnecessary of conversation. You know, if anything, I might go back to a time in my life in which I struggled, and maybe if they ask for a suggestion or something, I give that. So what I'm getting at is I feel like when we really truly are our true selves, we also are not because of looking for the validity from another person, but because we respect other people's spaces. Just like when I'm with clients, when I see somebody that's having a really low moment, I don't come in like this. I'm not all like, hey, how's it going? Da, 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 da. I'm like, you having a hard time? I lower my energy. Am I being fake? No, I'm respecting their energy. I'm respecting how they are. So I really don't feel the same thing. Like with my kids, I don't parent them exactly the same. They're very different in personality. They're similar, but they're very different in personalities and the way that they handle authority, the way that they handle a challenge, the way that they, you know, like do just the way that they approach a situation that's different. I don't do them the same way. And it's not because one kid's better than the other or something. They're just very different. And yeah. So I think when we try to compartmentalize, but classify, categorize everybody, it's just like, oh, well, this is me. You better adapt to me. This is how I am. I'm like, okay, wow, you went down another egoic path. Like, geez, like, you know, like, well, that's not going to be very helpful for yourself or other people. So, but at the end of the day, if somebody feels that they literally are completely non-masking and never change a persona of themselves, like, good for you. Good for you. Maybe you're a robot right. or something. Good. You know, awesome. We're all different. So, no, you know, kudos.
Yeah. I like I said, I hadn't thought of it and it really did make me think. I was like, oh, like, cause I was just thinking like, well, I always have to wear at least like two or three, just again, it's like social and, like you said, just certain school situations, and you can't just let it rip like you normally would, like all the time. Like it just doesn't work.
I choose not to out of the respect of other people. You know what I mean?
Sure, you could, but it just
some people end up do let it rip, and it's like, oh, that was a little inappropriate for the 7-year old.
Right? It just ends up causing issues, and then
Mom, what does that mean? Another day, son. Another day.
Exactly. So as we wrap up, I screenshotted a quote that you put in a post. This is about third week of January, and I think this kind of summarizes what we've talked about. And I had never seen this quote. It's from L.R. Nost. And so I'll read it, and then I'll let you kind of break it down, and then we'll finish up. It says, life is amazing, and then it's awful, and then it's amazing again. And in between the amazing and awful, it's ordinary and mundane and routine. Mm-hmm. Breathe in the amazing, hold on through the awful, relax and exhale during the ordinary. That's just living, heartbreaking, soul healing, amazing, awful, ordinary life. And it's breathtakingly beautiful. And I feel like that nails it.
Yeah, it is. Whenever I saw that one, I don't even know where and how I found it. I've had it forever, and it's on my monitor on that side. And it's like, I love it. Like, I would tattoo it across my whole body, because I'm like, if I had the epitome of what life is, this is life, because that's it. It's like all these people, like even myself, because I've had students over the years, like, oh, I wish I had your gifts. I wish I had this stuff. And I'm like, do you think I don't have bad days? Like, do you think I don't like want to cry in the corner? And sometimes life's so freaking hard. I'm like, I give up. I don't want to do this anymore. Even sometimes with this, like the work I do, I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. Sometimes I've had those moments where I'm like, it's just overwhelming. It's too much. I'm feeling so many feelings. And then you got to soothe it. Oh, it seems like your nervous system is dysregulated. Have you tried tapping? I'm like, shut up. I just want to be human right now, okay? I'm aware I am not my highest self. I am aware I could have been more responsive. Let me be human. Because when we have those human moments, we can move into gratitude so beautifully. Do we have to suffer to learn? No, but we often do. And yes, as I've progressed, I suffer less to win. And I'm actually learning how to receive out of pleasure instead of pain. And it's I will tell you again, Danielle, 10 years ago would have been like, who struggles receiving through that? I mean, duh, like, of course I'm going to love it. Okay. Well, I'm now in that side of my life. It actually comes real. I'm as lame as I hate this term. I am blessed. Okay. I hate that Southern ass term. I'm from Louisiana. I am blessed. I am grateful. And I don't say it mockingly. And sometimes it's so awkward to be incredibly now blessed. And it's not with false hope, because I always make this statement to people, is just because my life is going this way, I'm not selling you my life. I am not selling you my life. I am saying that you can come from the dark and find the light to your life. And like, that's all that I try to preach. And the thing is that no matter what side of the mountain you're on, what side of the bridge you've entered into, your mom might die, your dad might die, your kids might die. No matter how much you've read, no matter how much you've learned, and no matter how exceptionally unmasked you are, you're going to have some moments where you're like, oh Lord, I don't know if I can do this. You know, mm-hmm. Like I've had in this work, I've gone into postpartum depression. I have lost my dad. I lost my brother-in-law at the same time. And then all like lots of other stuff was going on all at the same time. And I also decided to recalibrate my business, which was basically felt like I sunk a Titanic ship all at the same time. Needless to say, I was emotionally overwhelmed. Needless to say, I remember still this moment in 2022, beginning of 2022, end of 2021, kneeling by my sink as I was washing dishes. My kids are crying. And another moment, life happens. My dad is dying in the hospital. I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old at the time. One is angry because I didn't get milk, and the other one wanted a snack as I'm on the phone. And that's what I said. Then I was like, life just keeps going, doesn't it? It just keeps going. Are my kids inconsiderate? No, they're a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. To them, it was so important that they needed milk and a snack.
It's very important.
Those are the moments like where it seems like that's it. And sometimes that moment when I said, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Again, weird moment. Sun shone down right in my face. Whether it's God, the programming system, we don't know. But something in that moment said, no, it's not the end. This is just a beginning. You just surrendered yet again. And it's like, I already did that though. Like 2013, you know, I thought I was done. And they're like, you got like 12 more of those things before you die. No, you're not done, you know? And that's it. We try to control it. But like, if we let it be, like, you embrace it. Like, I still have grief. Like, I'm grieving moving right now. And I'm not like going backwards. I guess you're going ahead in life, but I'm just like, but life, things, you know, not that I'm attached to them. I'm now like, oh, but I don't want to be wasteful because I'm still going to need my monitor. I'm still going to need this. And then my husband's like, we're moving on a plane, Danielle. Like, you can't bring everything. We could just buy more stuff. I'm like, but isn't that wasteful? Like, can't we save everything? He's like, let's just let it all go. You know, so it's like, that's life. It is. It's crazy. It's unpredictable. It's messy. No matter if you've turned into Gandhi, the freaking most amazing sought out life coach, billionaire, you're still human. You know, you're still human. You're going to feel, whether you want to or not, you're going to find, it's going to find you. Feeling will find you, you know?
No, absolutely. I love the breakdown and I love that quote, and I'm glad that I screenshotted it and I can come back and look at it because it's so perfect. This is awesome. Thank you so much for your time, effort, and energy. Just your unique perspective is, I just love it so much and I appreciate you so much. Before we go, tell people if they're interested in learning more about you or interested in working with you, just, you know, all your different social channels and how to reach out and find you.
Okay. Well, my main thing, if you want to find anything, I'm usually on LinkedIn. Or you could just go to my website, danielleaime.com, danielleaime.com. And I'm currently actually in the process of forming a center. So I might be even kind of changing some things in the coming years as a startup founder. But I'm always on LinkedIn. If I'm on anywhere, I've kind of took a sabbatical from other platforms. I'm around, but I always tell people, you'll feel me, you'll randomly be drawn to me, even if it's just a conversation. That's sometimes all that I do with people, and you'll just know. So if anybody listened to this and you just feel like you want to have a conversation, like, just message me, you know, like, there's a reason for it. Let yourself be curious, let yourself go into the box that makes no sense. And you may have absolutely no specific reason that you need to ask me a question. You just feel like you need to talk. Well, then I'm probably going to deliver some information to you and just let it be. And even if it's not me, it might be somebody else. Like, let yourself just be curious, you know, and ask questions.
Love it. Awesome. Thanks again for your time. And so glad you came on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.